Good to see you all. So, I am happy to be here this morning. I've been wrestling through a little bit of disappointment this morning, and I'm a little tired. And so, hopefully it's not going to make me too emotional. But anyways, I am happy to share with you. Today, I want to share about a topic which is kind of applies to all of us, and the topic is rejection and looking at rejection in our lives. And a couple weeks ago when we were traveling, it was interesting for me to walk through this time of feeling really isolated from people. And so 2 weeks ago I shared about the importance of being united and how together we can keep from being isolated. And this morning I want to share about just that power over rejection that we've been given to walk in a sense of acceptance and being valued for who we are. And so, in my own life, my earliest memories of being rejected were when I started school, and I remember being made fun of for being kind of the poor, weird, hippie kid. And I remember riding in my mom's old beat-up green Chevrolet. One time she got pulled over, and the police officer actually wrote down the color of her car was rust, even though it was green, so it was a pretty old beat-up car. And I remember if I saw anybody that I knew, I would hide in the car just because I didn't want them to see me, and I was embarrassed of our car and that sense of rejection that came with that. I remember when my mom would buy groceries and if I was shopping with her, when she would go to pay, then I would leave and just go out to the car and wait for her because I didn't want to be with my mom when she paid with food stamps for the groceries. And I remember a guy in my sophomore English class who I think it's because his dad worked for the school, and so I'm assuming on the application for free lunch, my mom put down that we had food stamps, and then we automatically got free lunch. I'm guessing that's why somehow his dad told him or something. But I remember him coming to me in class and saying, "It's people like you that are a drain on our economy, and you guys need to stop having babies and stop being leeches and pull your own weight." And my cousin one time said, "Yeah, you guys always come over to our house for dinner, but my mom says I can't come over to your house because you guys can't afford to feed me." And just these feelings of rejection, and you know, we each have our own little things, and I only recently realized that rejection is a universal thing. Like, each one of you could stand up here and tell stories of times that you got rejected. And some of those were really serious. Some of those were abuse and rejection from parents and close friends. And it's something that we all have. It's part of the brokenness of this world. And it's not really a fun thing to talk about. It's not exactly what I want to wake up on Sunday morning and engage with. And yet, I want to engage with rejection and where we go from that. I'm going to share some thoughts this morning that came from a book as well called The Root of Rejection by Joyce Meyer. And one of the brothers on the other campus was kind enough to read it and send me notes on it. So it's kind of like, that's a good way to go through a book. But so it's not all just my thoughts, but God has some things to speak to us in that. And so why don't we pray and jump into that? So God, thank you for this morning. God, even as I share my own rejection, and I imagine people are thinking about the ways they've been rejected in their lives, I thank you that we have victory. I thank you, Jesus, that you came to set us free. I thank you that you came to speak a new message to us, different from the message of the world, different than the message of the evil one. I thank you that you have truth for us. I thank you that you love us. I ask that you would speak to us this morning and meet us right where we're at. I ask that you would overcome those attacks in our lives and that you would show your victory to us. We love you, God, and just desire for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as Joyce Meyer's pointing out, what happens in our lives when we have a root of rejection or resentment from people or hatred from people is that creates in us some fruit in our lives. It doesn't just stay in our lives, but it starts to come out. And the fruit of that pain and that disdain for us can come out in insecurity in our lives. And it can come out in fear. And it can come out in depression and negativity, a lack of confidence. It can come out in hostility, aggression, and anger. It can come out in control and desiring to control circumstances and control everyone. It can come out in a judgmental attitude towards others. It can come out with just having a chip on our shoulder. Prove ourselves. It can come out in self-pity. And then if you think about when that fruit comes out of our lives, these things, it kind of perpetuates that cycle. As we've experienced rejection, and then the fruit of it are these negativity and things, the natural consequence is that we're going to get rejected more, or it's going to kind of continue the cycle. And on top of that, people who have been rejected often seek out other people who are feeling strongly rejected. And together, kind of support each other until it gets even worse and it perpetuates. So what's the solution? What do we do with that? If we've experienced this rejection in our life, where do we go from there? And so the natural human response is to protect ourselves, is to build these walls, to build our rejection protection so that it won't happen anymore. And so we build these walls to keep ourselves from experiencing this again. And they come in different forms. One of those forms is this inner vow. I promise to myself, no one will ever hurt me again. I am going to make a wall around me so big that no one will ever get close enough to hurt me again. I will not be rejected. I promise myself I will not go there again. So we build these walls up. Another wall is this pretend wall. It's like, you can't hurt me because I don't care what you think. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Sounds nice, but it's never been true. It's this pretend wall. I don't care what you think. It's like, I wish that was true, and I will pretend that is true, because that wall is going to keep me from getting hurt. You can't hurt me. I'm invincible. Another wall we put up is a wall of self-defense. The wall is that I have the right to hurt you back. So if you want to hurt me, it's coming right back at you. And not only that, but I'm justified. I have the right to do this. Because I've been rejected, you deserve this. Or someone in my life has rejected me, I have a right to protect myself. I have a right to put it back. I have a right to hurt somebody else, and I don't need to feel bad about it. It's just giving back. It's just it's protecting myself. Put the guard up with the swords, not just the shield, but the sword with it. Another form of wall is what she calls buying protection. And buying protection is a wall we put up of, I will be so nice and perfect, or perfect, that no one will reject me. I'm going to make myself so perfect, why would you want to reject me? You won't want to. You'd be like, oh man, he is so nice, I'm not going to reject him. He's such a good guy. Huh? Yeah. And so this wall is buying protection. I was thinking it's just like this beautiful wall. It's like people don't even know it's a wall. It's just, you know, I got this nice little shrubbery and nobody's going to break down my wall because I'm like close to perfect and really nice and kind. And I don't know as I went through these, if any of these connect with you, like, yeah, that's probably the wall that I put up. And it was actually surprising to me. I have never heard of this before. And this is the wall that I put up. I put up the, I'm going to be so nice and try to be perfect. And nobody's going to reject me. And I didn't know that that was a wall. I thought it was just me being nice. But it is. I'm saying like, no, don't reject me. I'm your friend. Please, here's $50. Like, don't hurt me, okay? This buying protection. So what does God say? Which one of these walls is his idea of how to protect ourselves? And as we'll see, none of these are God's intended way to protect us from rejection. In fact, when we build these walls, instead of them just becoming a place of protection, they become a place of isolation. And we actually trap ourselves inside these places that were intended to make us be safe. And we sacrifice some freedom that we have, or should have. And God has called us to love. Love is the greatest calling. The greatest commandment of all is to love God with all that we have and to love the people we encounter. And the walls make love really difficult. And we are called to love and be loved. And yet, it hurts. There's risk. And so sometimes we get isolated and then angry, even though it's kind of our safety net. Not only that, but it's not the way of Jesus. Jesus did not defend himself. Instead, he entrusted himself to the Father. And Jesus was rejected. As all of us have been rejected, Jesus was rejected severely. And yet he didn't put these walls up. He didn't defend himself. He didn't cut off people. He didn't try to be such a nice guy that people would like him and not reject him. He didn't do any of those. He entrusted himself to his Father. And that's our model. And we're not called to perfection. We are all a work in progress and always will be. And that kind of mask of pretending to be perfect is not the way of God. We receive from Him our righteousness. And that fear of people that leads us to become people pleasers is not God's plan. But to fear God and wonder what He says about us, and to listen to His voice, and to let His voice tell us who we really are, not the people we're trying to please, who we can never please. Jesus came to bring us eternal life in heaven and also life here to the fullest. Jesus came down into our world, took on the form of a human, engaged in the challenges of frail human life, lived a perfect life, and then took the pain, took the sin and brokenness of ours on himself on the cross, and died in our place, and was raised back to life again by the power of God. So that if we would put our trust in him and what he's done for us and receive his life, we would have eternal life and live forever. And not only that, not just we would be miserable until that day, but that we would actually have life here to the fullest. That we would have victory here. That we would experience not the full extent, but we would experience a victorious life. And I don't know, we got football starting today, and when people score a touchdown, they do a celebration dance. And so I want to do a celebration dance for you guys this morning, because the flavor of Christ's victory is not, oh yeah, Christ has brought some victory, but that it's victory. It's to celebrate. And it's not the same as football, because it comes with a weight, and through the challenge of rejection and through the suffering and pain of life, but we experience victory in the midst of that. And so if you guys do a victory dance, here's the easy one. You got the football in your hands, and then you're going to spin it on the floor. And so it's spinning in a nice tight circle, and then you dance around the ball and let the other team know, we just owned you. That's right, right? So you get the ball, spin it, and then you add to it, right? And in football, you might get a call for excessive celebration. I heard you're not allowed to dunk it. Is that right anymore? Crazy, man. What is the world coming to? But anyways, you cannot have excessive celebration in Christ. He has given us life. He has taken our sins and dealt with them and given us his life. If we will receive it, receive him, we have life to walk in. And will there be pain? Yeah. But can we have victory through the pain? Yeah. Christ has power to free us from our past rejection and ongoing rejection. I feel like for me, as where I'm at now, and if any of you guys have been involved in ministry for long, there's some amount of rejection just in people that leave, like close friends that I have that walk away either from the church or from faith. And sometimes it feels so personal. And so it's not just like, oh yeah, when we were kids, we had some rejection. We continue to have that. We have power to be free from that. How do we find healing from rejection? We choose to walk in faith, not in our feelings. We choose to say, I will obey what you say, God. And I will trust as I obey you, I will find victory. And as I walk in faith, the Holy Spirit will meet me as I'm faithful. And there's a call for us to work with God towards healing. And not just stay in that place of, this is how I feel, and this is where I'm going to stay. This is how I feel, and I'm choosing to walk in faith. That if I walk in faith, God will heal me. He will be there for me. And it's a process. I wish that you guys could just say one prayer with me today, and boom, never feel rejected again. But it's a process. So when we feel rejected, we need to let God defend us. He will speak for us. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to jump on somebody else. We can take that feeling and let God defend us. This is what Jesus did. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. It's not easy to walk by faith. But God will defend us. We need to risk taking our walls down. That's scary. Those walls are there for a reason. We need to risk taking them down, allowing the opportunity for love, and place our trust in His protection. Isaiah says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." His protection is better than the artificial protection we set up. And we probably all know that, and yet it's hard to leave those walls. And to leave those walls and say, "You are my fortress. You are my strong tower. You are my refuge. I go to you for my protection. Rather than this little fortress I've created, I will trust in my mighty fortress." We need to reprogram our minds with the truth. Paul says we should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so it's a renewing. It's a reprogramming. And so part of that is receiving truth from God. And we are bombarded with messages all the time. We are bombarded with messages from other people, from media, from circumstances, from the evil one. And we have all these messages, and to actually receive the one that's from God and lock on to that one and give it precedence and say, in all the messages of the world, I will receive the truth from God. And then to speak that truth to ourselves. I think most people speak in the hundreds, 120, 100 and something words a minute out loud. But to ourselves, we speak 400 or 500 words a minute. You are constantly having an inner dialogue with yourself. Right now, you guys have thought way more than what you've listened to me say. You've probably thought about tons of things all over the map. And to take those thoughts and actually speak some truth in them, and not just let them go all over. We will never control all of our thoughts. It's okay. Some of them go in all kinds of weird directions. Like, well, I don't know what that was. But to deliberately speak some of that truth to ourselves and reprogram our minds with the truth, because the truth will set us free. And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, but the last one is just, may we help each other see the love and acceptance of God. May we be a voice of love and acceptance, not of rejection and hatred. Parents, we have an incredible ability to speak to our kids. And a lot of it is nonverbal. We speak things to our kids about who they are. And it's so unfortunate that that rejection that we experienced without even wanting it to can get spoken to our kids. And my mom went through some tremendous rejection in her life. And without trying to, and even deliberately trying not to, some of that passed on to me. But may we, to our kids, give them correction and not rejection. And to one another in general. May we be able to speak that acceptance and not rejection. Even in mistakes, we can affirm what you did is bad, but you are a good and wonderful person inside, and we will always love you. Isn't that so different than some of the messages of you messed up, you're horrible, you're a bad person, you're a loser? No. What you did is bad, but you are a good and wonderful person inside, and we will always love you. That's what I want to communicate to my kids. That's what I want the flavor of what they got from me to be. That they know that. Even in the times when I'm feeling rejected, and in my rejection, I pass on rejection, and it's not about them, it's about me. And I'm sorry, and I want to speak that over it, and even greater. On the back of your paper are some truths. I want to reprogram our minds a little bit this morning with these. I want to dig into these, and I encourage you to speak the truth to yourself and to one another, and to receive the truth. Even this morning, the voices of other people are like shifting sands. They praise you one time and speak against you the next. We cannot find an anchor in them. We may speak to each other acceptance and love, but it cannot be our foundation because it moves. It's quicksand. But in Christ, there's bedrock. You can find an anchor, a secure place. God created me to be valuable and worth acceptance. God created you. You. Unique. And deliberately. He created you with intent. You were specifically created to be valuable and worth acceptance. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How many times do you have to hear that and repeat that to believe it? How many of you at the end added a, yeah, but? There's no but. You were created specifically by God, and you are valuable and worth acceptance. I belong in God's family. Through Christ, God has brought us into His family. In Christ, we have been adopted as His sons and daughters. In Christ, you are His son or daughter. You are part of the family. You are as important as any other member in the family. You belong and are accepted into the family of God. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. You belong. God is with me even in my deepest pain. As Betsy Tin Boom said from the middle of a horrible concentration camp, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper yet. There's no pain so deep that God is no longer with us. God is with you. He will not abandon you. He will not give up on you. He will not forget you or lose you along the way. He won't leave you in the mall and go on to the next shop. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is with you. In Christ, I am secure regardless of anyone's opinion. Those opinions that love you one moment and despise you the next are not secure. But the voice of Christ that says, I receive you, I accept you. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. The opinions of others, for better or for worse, are insignificant. May they speak love and speak from God the truth. But at the same time, it's not even those words, it's not even what I think of myself that matters. My opinion of myself is not even that big of a deal, but God. God is the one who judges us. And when you go into the courtroom to be judged, God looks at you and he sees Christ and he says, you're blameless. You're innocent. You're not guilty. You're righteous. And whatever other voice says contrary, your own or someone else's, is not as significant. I am a conqueror even when mistreated. In the midst of those challenges, in the midst of life, in the midst of rejection, I am a conqueror. Because who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or rejection, or pick your challenge. As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. We are. We face challenges every day. We face some kind of death every day. Does that separate us? No. In all those things, in the midst of all those things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You are a conqueror because you have the victorious DNA of Christ. Even in the midst of mistreatment, you are a conqueror because of who is in you, because of whose you are. Nothing can separate me from God's love. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, those are pretty powerful. And death can be a pretty big deal. Neither the present nor the future, that's pretty scary, a lot can happen in the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not my own mistakes, not what might happen tomorrow, not the what-ifs or the should-haves. None of that can separate us from God's love. You stay in God's love. You cannot leave His love. His love remains for you. It is a fortress. He loves you. And He loves you because He loves you. 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 Because That is who He is. He is love. And He loves you. And He says, I choose you, even if the entire world rejects you. Even on your worst day, with the worst hair you've ever had, you're stinky and dirty and just crawled out of the gutter. He says, I choose you. I want you. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion for the child she has born? Sadly, it's happened. Though she may forget, I will not forget you, says the Lord. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. He continues to choose us again and again. He will not forget you. Jesus is not ashamed of me. Even in the middle of my brokenness, even in the middle of my struggles that continue, even in the middle of things I don't want in my life, Jesus is not ashamed of you. Because both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And I don't know if you've ever been ashamed of yourself. I certainly have. But Jesus is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed to say, that's my brother. That's my sister. God's love for me has no limit. It doesn't last a certain period of time or only in a certain place or only on certain conditions. But as Paul said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love that. The love that surpasses knowledge beyond your understanding. A love that will blow your mind. That's what it says, right? God's love for you has no limit. If you knew the extent of God's love for you, it would blow your mind. May it blow our minds. May we believe and receive and embrace who God has made us to be and what He has given us in His Son, Jesus. May it be more than words on a paper and pretty thoughts. May it be our reality. May we grow. May we be transformed by His truth. May His truth be rooted and established in our lives. Because the fruit of acceptance and love is completely different from the fruit of rejection. The fruit of acceptance and love in our lives is self-control and faithfulness and goodness and patience and kindness. When we have truly tasted acceptance and love, flows through us and bears fruit of peace and gentleness and joy and love. And then that bears fruit in other people's lives. May we be rooted and established in love. May we have the courage to believe what God has said. May we have the courage to risk walking in faith instead of staying in that place where we've been hurt. I want to give you a moment where you're at just to think and pray for your own life. What do you think is important from this message? How does it apply to you? What does God want you to do? God, thank you for accepting us, loving us. Thank you for what you say about us. Thank you for who we are in your sight. Thank you for transforming us and redeeming us in Christ. Thank you for the righteousness that we can walk in, that we do walk in, that is us. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for loving us so much. God, may we speak that to one another. God, I pray for each person here, that you would speak into that place of rejection in their own life, that you would speak your truth, that your voice would be louder than whatever other voice was spoken at that time. I ask that you would speak and that you would give us ears to hear and to believe and to walk in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite any, I don't know if crazy or courageous person to come and do a touchdown victory dance with me. And then we're going to sing a couple more songs.